Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
You are invited to the 14th Annual North American ISTA Conference on Sexuality and Consciousness, May 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Montreal, Canada. I'd love for you to join me there. I'm the keynote speaker on Friday, May 22nd, and my topic will be sex magic, and you know that's one of my favorite topics. Please consider coming to this conference if you've never attended an ISTA conference before. You will love the topics covered, you will love the speakers and the panels, and just about everything about it. So for more information, go to sexualrenaissance.com. Hi, everybody. You're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And today my show is a panel discussion that includes Monique Darling, Reed Mihalko, Seva Khalsa, and me. And the topic is Fearless Relating. Enjoy. This is a one-of-a-kind experience.
Agreed. From my experience, is that we love to dive into the scary stuff and the things that aren't being said. And so anything that you brought tonight, it's so welcome. We're so excited. So we'd love it. If you have a question that can make us blush or make it awkward, that's even better. So really, truly, like, you don't need to hold back tonight. So whatever it is that you've been wondering about, you've been curious about, that you want to find out and dive into more, we'd love to geek out about that. And so that's what tonight's about. The first part. And
then, any of you grew up or know somebody who grew up in a household where things would get awkward? Like at the dinner table or in holidays. Okay. So just look around so you know you're not alone. So know that Monique has turned into that person that the awkward now excites her. So when she invites you to be like, be vulnerable and it's okay to be, you know, nervous and, you know, ask the questions that you think will make us feel awkward, like, she means it. Like, she will smile even more than she's smiling right now.
It's great because they're stuck inside of us, and when you're able to really say the words, then I'll often have you pause and take a breath and just feel in your body what it feels like to have those inside words on the outside. It's amazing.
Once you get the hang of it. Until you get the hang of it, it's excruciating. But it's a good kind of excruciating, and that's stuff that we'll talk about tonight.
A little bit of a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to introduce himself first? Lori or Reed?
I'm happy to. Yeah. I'm Lori Handlers, for those of you who don't know me, and many of you do. And I'm a tantra teacher and sacred sexuality, I guess, for other people who want to translate it that way. And I'm also a film producer and an author. We shared our top three things with each other before, and I'm just going to share my top thing, which is that my book, Sex and Happiness, made it to the best-selling book on Amazon. Yay! I'm so happy about that. And so I just want to say that because it's a lifelong dream that came true. So that's all I'll say right now. I'll have plenty to say about whatever it is you make us blush about a little later on.
Thank you so much for having us in your home.
You're welcome. Anytime, Monique. Yeah, thank you.
All right, and I'm Seva Khalsa, a sex and relationship coach. I live in Sedona. I'd like to come to Phoenix, though. A lot more cool people. That's great. I teach classes down here, too. That's a big thing for me nowadays. One of the class titles I have is Your Emotions Make Me Hard or Sweat. We really try to delve into the nitty-gritty of what is it that keeps us from wanting to have sex all the time. So we work on that, breaking down those issues or barriers and stuff.
Is the answer eating?
Having to eat.
Having to eat.
Yes.
Occasionally. Yes. Or go to the bathroom.
Oh, bathroom too. Bathroom.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
Make money.
Sleep.
Sleep.
I have other ones, but I'm not going there.
Yeah. I like the idea of the awkward questions, too, because, you know, I want to feel myself just go, get a reaction.
The awkward excites David, too.
Yes. Thank you.
So I'll go next. My name is Reed Mahalko. I'm a sex and relationship educator. I am a professional geek. And I'm, as you will find out quite quickly, I'm also a jackass. So I will be providing comedy tonight. Please don't mistake my sense of humor, or lack of it, the occasional swear words that will fly out of my mouth, and also the kind of cavalier nature that I'll talk about things. I use comedy very intentionally to try to get us to laugh about stuff that most of us have grown up to be very anxious or anxiety-ridden or have a lot of fear or maybe some emotional scar tissue around. And I grew up in that family where there was always some sort of elephant in the room, and no one would talk about it. Mm-hmm. And eventually, my mom and dad's inability to talk about their wants, needs, and desires, and to work through their upsets, my mom would eventually turn to alcoholism, to self-medicate, and my dad, thinking that if he brought home more money, that would solve problems, he became a workaholic. Mm-hmm. And so I saw two people who loved each other very, very much, and they stayed together till they... Well, one of them passed away, and then the other one passed away eventually. But, like, basically, they were really committed to never breaking up, and they were always in love, but it was totally fucked up. And my brothers and I got to see what happens when you don't have the communication tools to work through things. And so part of what I'll talk about tonight is a lot of what I teach is really the value or what you get out of it, the benefit of actually being able to say what you're scared to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that your ability to feel comfortable, feeling uncomfortable, will actually change the trajectory of your life, especially when you can feel uncomfortable and find your words. Mm-hmm. And then as a geek, I'll tell you why that's, you know, some science-y stuff for why that's so difficult and why... Like, the good news inside of all of that. Because if you grew up in a family like mine, and I found my words, we know a lot more now about neuroplasticity and things that are happening in your brain, and how you can literally change how your brain thinks about fear. So that's the stuff I'll geek out on tonight, and hopefully it'll be funny and entertaining.
Odds are.
Thanks for being here, Reed.
You're welcome.
So I'm Monique Darling. And I just feel so blessed because I get to tour around the country and do what I love. And I get to dive in with groups everywhere. Like, I've done 800 workshops in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I get to dive in with people and talk about the things that aren't being talked about and get people to feel the things that are underneath that they think are too much or not enough. And like, we get to go to those places. And I grew up with a really religious background. I grew up Mormon and like had my voice completely taken away. Mm-hmm. And so for the past 9 years, and it's that reclamation of my voice and my body and like, who am I without everyone else's voices? Or if there was nothing else in my head except for what do I want to be? What's that? And then being able to give others permission to be able to find that for them. And that's really what I do. Authenticity, vulnerability, and finding who you are. So I'm excited to play with all of you guys tonight and find out who showed up. Who's here tonight? So who's our first brave person that came with a burning question and they're like, I'm going to go first. Wait, maybe I won't. Yes, raise your hand and you get to go first. So who has that question that you're just like, I really, really, really want that answered?
Okay. So how do you work around fearlessly relating when someone has extreme and complex trauma in their history?
Personally, if I was fearlessly relating to somebody who was traumatized, which I think most people are, mm-hmm. at least these days, there are plenty of things that also can be done, like sending them to teachers like myself or any of the people up here on the couch, and there are some others in the audience. There are ways that trauma can be released from the body without reliving the trauma. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of my specialties, that is getting people to work through those emotions in various ways. I have at least 20 techniques for doing it, and it's my pleasure to help people release trauma from their bodies. So there's some ways that some of you have heard of, like there's sacred spot work in the Tantra world, because inside where people's G-spots are is a lot of trauma. Trauma gets stored in the first and second what's called chakras. So it can be released that way. If you happen to be the person's lover and you touch that spot and all of a sudden all pandemonium breaks out, you stay calm, you hold space, you keep breathing, you might even sing. Just sing. So that it doesn't get on you, but you're still holding the space. You might hum or something like that. But then there are plenty of professionals in our world today who can work with people who've been traumatized. I have one, for example, called yoga boxing, which has to do with bilateral brain stimulation, and it lets people release from their body the trauma without reliving the actual events of the trauma. So I would, if that was my lover, I would have that person see someone else, not me necessarily, and if we couldn't find anyone, then I'd do the work.
I could say a thing or two.
Go.
So, I think a good first response is to just breathe. And breathing in general is a good thing to practice. And breathing as deep as you can, all the way down to the perineum, it helps to ground the body a lot. So anything that happens, a sudden movement towards you, anything startling, you kind of naturally do it anyway, but it's good to practice separate from the trauma experience. That's always a good response, to stay calm, to help to be present, and to not just freak out. And the other piece is to expand your sense of expectation that these kind of things can happen, that people can just explode. Anyone here could just suddenly explode. And that might be scary or traumatic for us that are present. But if you have the thought that, well, maybe that could happen. And if you have that framework in your mind that it is a possibility at all times, then it's not so frightening and scary when it doesn't.
I work with mostly trauma people, but it's really quick, is that the idea for them to be able to fearlessly relate is for them to be able to trust themselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's what all of these guys talked about. It's being present with them so they don't feel like they're broken. It's helping them so that they can get it out of their body. Mm-hmm. But it's really helping them to know no matter what happens, if someone exploded in the room, they're going to be okay. Like, it's bringing it back to empowerment for their power was taken away. And so it's finding out where are those pieces inside of them that they feel victimized or that they pushed away, and really help them start reclaiming those pieces so they feel like they can hold their own safety container. And when they start feeling that, then they can start fearlessly relating with everyone around them.
All right, who's next?
Can you describe an example of how any two people can deeply relate in light of that most people filter their lives through filters and masks? They relate to people. The way I see two people is two people I'm talking, there's the two masks are talking to each other. And I've done personal growth work for 10 years in many different environments, and I really see two people really relating. So I'd just like you to speak to that.
I would say take a Tantra course immediately and learn to, I would just say, quick. It's different from personal growth, like as in the Landmark Forum or like that. It's not talking. It's actually learning to eye gaze, learning to breathe together, sometimes having on a blindfold, sometimes really looking in the eyes. The skill set is body-centered more than talking head-centered. And so I would recommend that's a really quick way, a fast path to get very authentic. And I am a graduate of many personal growth things, and until I found my way to the body, I didn't have a way to just like strip myself of all my intellect and how smart I think I am and what I want you to see and what I want you to know. I could now let that go and just be with you in the breath, present in the moment. Even if I have spinach between my teeth, I can let you be with me.
So just to build off of what Lori said, so there's the somatic part, like actually being able to be in your body, because so many people just learn to dissociate from what they're feeling. You know, and even for me, and I'm pretty geeky, like I still can't tell the difference between thirst and hunger all the time. Like, I feel peckish, but like I'm trying to be like, well, when am I going into the fridge when really what I need is more liquids? Right, so that's just like a common example that, you know, a lot of people just, in this North American culture in this day and age, they're like, wow, huh, I never figured that out. So there's the somatic piece, and then there's the talking head piece, right? But there's the cognitive understanding that we're all swimming in a culture that we're not necessarily, you can kind of see. It's kind of, you know, very hard to grab your own shadow around how we were raised. And, you know, around your comment about the masks is, if you think about, like, and I'll use dating as an example, right? We come from a model where we're supposed to be using attraction as kind of this currency. Like, I'm gonna wear the clothes that will make me more likable, I'll have a proper job, I'll say the right things, you know, I'll put this mask on so that people will like me, if, you know, we can kind of get fifth grade with it, right? I'll wear this mask, I'll behave this way so people like me. And then you have another person doing the exact same thing, and even though they're trying to connect, they're not really being authentic. So people are trying to be authentic with each other, but they don't know what they don't know, and they're not feeling in their bodies. So when you can start getting into your body, for whatever modality, Tantra is a great example, because then you also can be in your body around sensuality and sexuality. Yoga is a great practice, Tai Chi, you know, even like mime work. You could literally do mask work to figure out how to take off your own mask. Like, you can get all these rivers leading to the same ocean. But when you realize that the mask you're taking off is really leading towards what makes you happy, who are you? Rather than playing the music that culture told you, like, let's say classical music, like, maybe the way music comes through you is jazz or country or whatever. So giving yourself that permission and then building the tools to be fearless or to fear less and stay in your body and be present with people, and that now you're building a really awesome cocktail for having, I think, a happy life and being able to hang out with cool people.
And I know you're coming from a new culture background, and so they use Zeg Forum, where you get to have your peers around you. You get, someone goes in the center and they get to share about love, sex, power, and money, whatever's life for them, and they get facilitated in front of peers of their community. And so for me, it's the same thing. Like, you surround yourself with peers that you know are going to call you on your stuff. And so you know each other well enough, whether it's your lovers or it's your best friends or some of both. Like, they know if you're trying to put on an act, and they know if you're going to have that mask on, and you don't need to impress them. And you don't have to prove anything to them, so you get to start showing up and peeling away the layers together. Because then they're like, oh, no, Monique, come on. what's happening right now? And let's sit and be with that. And then you get to a point where you both love to dive into those places together. And it's so much more fun to get underneath the mask and see what's under the next one and under the next one. So that you just get to be naked with each other on all levels.
Well, I have a lot of compassion for that question. I spent a lot of my life with the stories just going round and round and round in my head all the time. Very painful, I feel, and you know, it's isolating and rather than connected. So, I don't know if you know Sam Harris's, but he's had some great videos on this kind of thing where he comes up to a podium and there's a water bottle on the podium, and he thinks to himself, oh great, there's water on the podium. And then in his next slide is, well, who am I talking to? That's, you know, it's just another thought rambling around in your head. And so, yeah, I might look over at Monique and I'm thinking, oh, I'm actually thinking about what I'm saying. I'm not really communicating with you. I'm not really, or I'm thinking about what I'm going to say after she says what she's saying. So, one aspect of, if you want to receive communication, it's really helpful to try to as we've been talking about earlier, be just the present, you know, breathing. Tantra is really good for that, I think. But as far as speaking goes, it's, you know, if you had a broadcast system that spoke your thoughts all the time, every time you've had a thought, you know, people would think you're crazy when you're thinking. And so
it would be so freeing.
It would be so freeing. Just to imagine how different society would be. Anyway.
My sister is like that.
Oh, well, there are some people that are like that. Okay, great. But maybe they're not popular. I don't, anyway. So, you know, you have this disconnect between what's happening and what's in your head, and oftentimes that's a self-judgment that stops you, or a feeling of shame. I can't say that because I don't want that person to judge me, or I don't want that person. That's a bad thing. I have shame about that, whatever it is. But shame is one of the most challenging and deepest ones to stop us from communicating. So if you can work on just have a little more self-acceptance and not having that feeling of self-judgment and shame, it might be easier to be in the present moment.
We're going to take a commercial break right here. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Sex and Happiness.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Lori Handlers on the Sex and Happiness show. We're back with Sex and Happiness and our next question at the Fearless Relating panel with Monique Darling, Reed Mihalko, Seva Khalsa, and myself.
Well, I'd give a little bit of background, I guess. We've been together for about 6 years, and we were drawn to each other immediately. We knew that our souls were connected, and we got married 28 days after we met. We're very, very intimate, and very sexual, and very, very much one person. We've been trying over the years to create that ultimate orgasm for her, because we like to bring each other so very much. And recently she sent me a video on YouTube on squirting, to try to accomplish that ultimate orgasm. And every time we get right to that spot where she's like right there, it never happens. Is like any advice on something that I'm doing wrong or ways to make her more comfortable?
Do you guys have a square blanket? Like something
waterproof? Put a towel down.
Okay. Does the towel, I mean, I know for me with, so just know this about me. I'm a geek and I have a lot of sex. I'm very promiscuous and it is kind of sometimes field work with my friends who are also geeks. But the idea of putting something down that you know is waterproof, that won't seep through, seems really simple and like too simple, but for, and a proper technique and a bunch of other stuff is really useful. But that sometimes, for a couple of my lovers, was the, okay, now I can let go. Because they just knew they weren't going to ruin my mattress
so
or their mattress.
Is it letting go, or is it pushing at that moment?
Well, it's tricky because telling you what it is may not be what's actually going on for you. So I know for me, the biggest things have been people try to make people squirt too quickly. We're already, just by being in America, a very overachieving society. So, like, if you're not squirting and hitting the lamp off the nightstand, right, then you didn't do it right. Like, so we're already overachieving. So it's also really useful to kind of take that stuff off the table. Like, nothing has to happen. And that kind of Jedi Yoda, like, not trying to do it will help. Other common mistakes in my experience working with people, and people try to do G-spot stimulation too soon. Not all the erectile tissue that's going on in the pelvis is actually online. And then people tend to be too pokey or grabby. And it, for me, it usually is a lot more, it's a flatter sensation. And in super, super geek society, we're actually talking about if it's an actual, like, cadence, like if it's like it's like G-spot massage in megahertz. Like, trust, there's some really geeky people out there, but they're trying to think if it's an actual like timing thing, like you can put a timing chain on your hand sex to make it work. It's kind of like that, but it's not like that. I mean, you vulva owners, I think, can speak to you better.
Well, from the tantric perspective, I'm working with a lot of women clients, then it's also our second chakra has a lot to do with our fifth chakra and our communication. And so often that has to do with not being able to feel safe enough to express. And so it's being able to find, is there any place that you're holding back? Are you able to use your words? Are you able to use your voice and be able to work downwards so that you can feel like your heart's connected, your throat's online, like you do feel empowered? And so it's being able to work downwards instead of just, okay, let's just work with your sex center. And then once all those things are aligned with it, then often that can mean the difference. And it's also being able, like Reed said, to let go of there being an agenda. And it's just like, okay, how can we just experience more pleasure together? And then often it will just happen on its own after you start working through those things and playing. And it's not even working, it's like playing through those things together. And it's like, how can we play tonight? And then just pick a different spot or a different part of your chakra system or however you guys like to play. And it's just like, okay, how can we play tonight? And then your body will just come online itself and then start playing with you.
Or it won't come online and you're not broken either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that's the other thing, is like, if you can't do this thing, then something's wrong. And that's such a fucked upness of our culture around performative sex.
I think I blame myself a little bit because of the forearm cramps and the...
Well, give me a break. I'll show you how to do a hand splint thing and...
So as a vulva owner, I want to say to everybody, first of all women can. So I want to take away the thing, there's like no brokenness, all women can do this. And if you haven't done this, it doesn't mean anything. So first of all, it doesn't mean anything. And for myself, I had to teach myself how to do it before I could actually do it with a partner. So I took a wand, a special thing that's made just to hit my sacred spot, and I went in a position recommended to me by a colleague of mine. Some of you may know her, Tini Dakini. She's in New York. And she told me to squat down by myself. So I squatted down myself with my wand and started using my wand on my own
area. And I was able to do that. I saw this like puddle of water, well, whatever, Amrita, start coming out onto the floor, and I went, oh, I can do this. So I learned it from that position, and once I was able to do it from that position, then I'm able to do it in other positions. But that, on my knees or squatting down, are absolutely the best positions for me. I went to a workshop on it, and I found out more. So I found out that those positions were best for women not lying on the back. Mm-hmm. And I also found out that if you're a woman and you've noticed that there's a wet spot on the bed after you're having sexual activity, you may think that's the man's cum spot, but that in fact is your own Amrita, your mm-hmm. own female ejaculate fluid, and you probably have squirted, but you didn't know that was what that was. So that's part of what I found out at the workshop that I took on it, because I wanted to know more. Since I did a teleseminar where I taught 14 women how to do it on the phone long distance. They all had a wand, they all had their lube, they all had their towels, they all had everything. And I taught them how to do it. We spent about 45 minutes building up. Then everyone took a little break. Then I turned the sound off because they didn't want to be recorded going, oh, you know, like that, all of them at the same time. I thought that would have been really cool. Those of you who are interested, I have that teleseminar on my website, butterflyworkshops.com. You know, I did record it. And it's not so hard to do. And if you never get to it, yes, what you said, you're not broken. Mm-hmm. But if you left a little wet in the bed, you did it. Mm-hmm. Even if you didn't know, you did it.
I mean, and when you start to realize like how the pressure that the culture puts on performance, yeah. right? Also understand, you can totally do it and then not like doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can teach you all how to shut up your gag reflex and you can deep throat things. And then some of you will be like, well, okay, so that doesn't turn me on. And then don't go do it. Like, you're allowed to like things and not like things. And like, Dr. Phil doesn't tell us this. Can't you see she's just trying to tell you that she loves you? No, Dr. Phil! Just be like, it's okay not to like things. Like, it's okay. Even if you can do them.
It isn't necessarily the ultimate orgasm. No,
right.
No, I want to say that to you. There are so many different ways that a woman's body feels orgasm, and that's one of them. But that's not, please take the ultimate out of that, because it isn't, it's one of them. And your partner may choose to like that one the best when she does that, and she may not. So.
How many of you have ever had a really amazing bite of like a dessert? Like it was like mind blowing.
Hell yeah. All right.
What if that was the ultimate? Like, what the fuck? And I'm not poo-pooing on the ultimate thing, like, right? Like, go be a seeker, go be a chaser, go be a creator and a manifester of amazing things. But the idea of, and I think it kind of comes from culture, right? We're chasing this thing, and then how many of us, especially as a penis owner, right? Like, I will perform. Like, I'm performing and try not to perform too much because I have to hold off. And, like, you know, but then how much of that keeps me from actually being with the person I'm making love to?
I think that squirting is an ultimate orgasm. It can be for sure. But there does seem to be a wide range of possibilities for women. Yeah, there's a lot of different body types. You know, the G-spot can be bigger or flatter. Rounder or flat, different bodies. And so that can be have an effect. Definitely the feeling comfortable part is really big, and the emotional part is really big. You know, that the woman feels safe, totally safe in every possible way. Two other points. One is that I think it is relaxing into it, totally relaxing into it. It can take a long time.
Not in the porn films.
Not at all.
Right. Right. Gets edited out.
Yeah, you don't see.
And performative squirting is usually done best by people who squirt quickly.
Oh. Yeah.
because they get hired, because then they can move on to the next thing they need to shoot. Trust me on this one. Like, I hang out with a lot of adult performers. Like, so you get hired to do what you... person who gets the whatever anal, whatever scene, they can do it pretty quickly. It doesn't take them 3 hours to get warmed up to do the thing, or else no one would hire them. And then things get edited down. So, and you don't hear the negotiation and stuff like that. So trying to learn how to be a better lover from watching porn is like trying to learn how to be a better driver from watching The Fast and the Furious. Just understand that. It's an entertainment medium, not necessarily a how-to. Great for brainstorming ideas, but not necessarily how-tos.
I just wanted to finish up. So I was saying relaxation first, but then... to create the orgasm, it just tends to be a pushing G-spot versus clitoral orgasm. And then as far as the hand movement goes, the pointy thing is really, I think, important. And the pointy,
like, don't be pokey.
Not too pokey. Yeah. Flatter. And not too much pressure. You know, it can be, it tends to be more in and out, actually.
I noticed that it was more intense for her when we applied pressure to her abdomen.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. And sometimes it can require an amazing amount of vigor, more than you would think necessary.
You have a comment?
Well, yeah. Speaking of the ultimate orgasm, another way to achieve that is what's called ejaculation, and she becomes a virtual volcano. You bring yourself and your partner to the point of orgasm without actually jumping off into the chasm, you know, and you pull back, you cool off. But that orgasmic energy, you pull up through your pelvic muscles, you pull that orgasmic energy up inside of your body. And you can spend all day doing this, or you can do it day after day after day without actually having an orgasm. Mm-hmm. But when you want to have that ultimate orgasm, it's like nothing you have ever experienced. It makes all of your other previous orgasms feel like, where have I been?
Yeah, the Taoist tradition talks about the golden flute and pulling the energy up your spine. It's also present in a lot of tantric traditions. So just the visualization of that while you're doing that kind of practice, and I mean, you guys teach this, so.
I call it pulling the sexual energy up, and call it ejaculation choice.
And also, I mean, how many of you ever had, like, really, you're having really hot sex, and I don't want to assume, because there might be people here who haven't had sex at all, right? And also, just to understand when we were talking about culture, like, it's not just masks, there's a thing called privilege that's happening, like I'm the poster child for white male privilege, and until people started explaining to me gender things and racism, like, I didn't realize it was a whole other, not even a mask, it was a whole other costume I was wearing that I didn't know I had on, because no one had pointed it out yet. So there's a lot of these things happening, and one of those things is to realize there may be people in this room, and I'm talking about, remember the last time you had hot sex? And they're like, no, you know, so it's like there's more going on in the room than you might be present to in your own life experience. That being said, when you're having really hot sex and you're like, no, I'm going to pull back a little bit because I don't want to come too soon, and then, like, later you're like, man, I really should have come then, because that was really where I was at the peak of it. I've had the situation of practicing, not
saving it up.
Yeah, saving it up, but you can save it up too long and be like, damn, I missed my window. So your mileage may vary. Yeah. But the saving it up part, if you've never done that before, the first time I tried masturbating without ejaculating, because I read it in a book, Mantachia, I'm like, why would you do that? That made no sense to my young mind. But then all of a sudden, like, after masturbating for 7 days and not coming, like, on the eighth day, let me tell you. That was a very interesting orgasm I had.
I'm fascinated by everybody's journey from the mainstream approach to sexuality, the monogamous to multiple lovers, sex all the time. Like, can you speak to that a little bit, like the taboos and how to dismantle them? I know it's a big, big, big question, but if you can just touch on that, I'd appreciate it.
Make it more acceptable?
How do you dissolve some of those? How do you see them as not working? Why are they not working?
How do you break down your own taboos in your own head?
Taboos that exist the majority. I mean, you guys might not remember, but the mainstream world still sees sexual relationship to be in a monogamous relationship. Why is it that not a good idea? Why does it not that work?
Oh, I don't know that it doesn't work.
Right, it does.
My brother and sister-in-law are fine.
I don't mean monogamy does not work, but in the taboos that we've all accepted as you cannot have multiple lovers at the same time.
Well, it's getting to the point that it's more uncomfortable to try and fit into society than it is to be outside of society. And so for me, then it was taking baby steps of like playing out the stories of the world's going to end, I'm going to go to hell, everyone's going to hate me, like all of those things. And my family disowned me for 5 years. Like some of the things actually came to pass, but I was so much happier finding where my own road was. And for me, it is not monogamy. Following all the rules and getting married in the temple and having 3 kids and getting a house and still being miserable to now having 8 lovers and lots of playmates and just feeling so in tune with myself of like getting to play in all these different realms all the time that all of a sudden it stops mattering what others are saying about you or what the world is saying, oh, this is how society needs to be. And eventually my family did want, they saw I was so happy that they started having their own questions. And it's becoming more yourself, whatever that looks like. And then the people around you will often start becoming curious. Instead of you trying to engage and fight with them or be defensive about, like, you just start going on your own journey for you. Is this taboo for you? How do you know? Like, if you've just gone to church your whole life, or if you've just done one thing your whole life, how do you know if that's for you? And so then you stop doing it, and you try something completely different. And so that was a huge thing. It's like breaking patterns. And so anytime I could see where a pattern was in my life, if it was eating the same type of food, if it was going down this road, if it was saying this thing, then it was turning it directly around and saying, oh, well, how does that feel? And then playing out the voices that were in my head that were saying, this is not okay. Okay, what's going to happen? What's the worst that could possibly happen? So that then all of a sudden I became okay with it. And then the taboo didn't matter anymore. If anything, it was the turn on, or it was like, ooh, the awkward became exciting.
So you don't find monogamy by itself a problem? You could be sexually quite liberated in monogamy.
Correct. If you see that's a choice.
Yes. And I would also say that there is variety in the human population or family. Some people are naturally monogamous and some people are naturally polyamorous. The problem is that this social structure has decided for us what we're going to be. The taboo, to me, is basically a mindfuck. It's saying that what you want to do is not right. And that's taking away your own personal integrity. And so what should be, I think, the case is that there's not really taboo, as people are allowed to do things and find where their natural limits are. Just like Reed was saying, you might learn how to deep throat and then decide you don't really like it. I've had a number of experiences like that.
But how will you know if you don't ever try it?
But how do you know if you don't ever try it? So now I really know what my boundaries are, what I like. And I'm going to do that, and what I don't like. I'm not going to do that. It doesn't take society to tell me I shouldn't do that. Because every time I want to do something and I hear this voice, this social voice inside of my head say don't do it, it makes me angry.
You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
No.
Can you imagine him angry?
I just want to say that I think that people assume sex educators or tantra teachers or whatever are all totally in favor of polyamory. And I have to just say, first of all, I don't agree about that for any of us. I don't think we're totally for or against anything. I don't think it's exactly what they're saying. It's go for what you dare to go for, be brave enough to turn the voice's social opinion off inside your head and go for what you want and make it work. I'm not for or against any of it. Hmm. Yeah. And celibacy is also a very important option for people, for either the whole time or for part of their life. Sometimes it's really important to just be self-contained.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment a little bit about that based on my own experience, which is not much, but I have my own libido, and that other people have their own libido too, whether it be more, some people want it every day, some people want it, you know, once in a blue moon, and that's okay. And for me, learning that my own libido is okay, whatever it is, was a huge step for me in understanding the game, you know, and that is because I feel like that kind of coincides with people that, you know, that what do they call it, where you don't want any sex,
asexual,
asexual, and that really gave me an aha moment, like, wow, that's real, like, I know now, I have the awareness, and I'm just grateful because, yeah, it's everything's okay in that sense, yeah. In my belief, but with that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good one.
We're going to take another short break here, and when we come back, we'll return to the Fearless Relating Panel with Reid Mihalko, Monique Darling, Seva Khalsa, and me. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. Hey, do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When? October 10th to 17th, 2015. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
Wow, sex magic. Laurie Handler's sex magic.
The workshop is really, really amazing. And we were able to create and generate this intense energy in a space of safety and love and abundance. And the magic really happens when she is free to let go.
That's pretty
cool. That shouldn't be called sex magic. It should be called sex miracle.
That she's the strongest facilitator that I've had the experience with. And there was not a moment when I didn't feel safe or not supported. She was with us individually and as a group the entire time, so that allowed me to go deeper than I've ever had.
Where my lover got to come and orgasm over and over and over again. She was loud as anything, and she was like a wild animal, untamed and free.
It just will bring you into such deeper places within yourself so that you're able to share with your partner.
Sex magic, I'm still feeling it. It was beautiful.
What an amazing course, if I say so myself. But of course, you've just heard the testimonies. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com, click on workshops, and find out more about sex magic. It's magical. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handler, your host, and we're returning to the Fearless Relating panel for the last segment.
I am curious about cervical massage. I read here and there about G-spot massage and cervical massage, see about, you know, a video about both, but I have yet to see anything. There's all kinds of information out there about G-spot massage. I have yet to find anything that gives any real information about cervical massage, how to do it.
So there's a way to either have somebody take their fingers and insert them in you and move around your cervix like a clock.
Where is that related to the G-spot? I don't even know the anatomy.
Okay, so if everyone can do this. If everyone puts their fingers right above your pubic bone, and then you push in.
Above the pubic bone, okay.
Yeah, everyone can do it. Men can do it, women can do it. Doesn't matter. If you want to know, they're all in the same place, whether you're male or female. Just one is... One doesn't have the same opening. But one has an extra opening and the other doesn't. But the G spot, so to speak, or the sacred spot is, if you press in here, it's right on the other side of the pubic bone, where your fingers are there. So that's where it is, but it isn't really a spot. They used to say it was the size of a dime or the size of a quarter, but according to Deborah Sundahl, who's really, my opinion, the expert on sacred spot or G spot stuff, everything changes as it gets engorged and as erectile tissue builds. Mm-hmm. If you want cervical massage, which may or may not have to do with stimulation, actually, the way I use it, it has to do with releasing of demons. I have someone that I work with, and we call it modern-day exorcism, by inserting for a woman, either someone inserts their finger or two fingers in you, or a wand that's specially made for this, and they begin to move it so that 12 o'clock is this way, up, and then 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. So they move this, the fingers or this tool, all the way around the clock, and they stop at places that are hot, places where there's pain, where you think you can't take it for another second, and they just stop and hold it gently there for you to be able to scream, cry, release, curse, whatever it is that you do. The same thing for men. So someone could insert their finger in a man's anus and start to move also around the clock.
So when you say around the clock, are you talking about pressing forward, sideways, back?
Uh-huh.
Kind of clock?
Just like there's a clock, like okay. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Yeah, it's going in and it's moving the thing. Like, okay. Like we're cranking you up, but we're not going like that.
Right, right.
Like it's just going slowly. Or my fingers are... Like if I'm working on a man in sacred spot, I might use my right forefinger and go in and go to 1 or to 11. I'm just making the image of a clock, so that.
Right.
But I can't do that all with my right hand, so I might have to then use my left forefinger. This is what I use. But I've worked on people where I've been at 7 o'clock and there was a huge money issue there. Like, and 5 o'clock and there was huge shame there. So there's all kinds of things. I mean, when someone first did it to me, my parents were in there. Who invited them in there? You know what I mean? They were there. And so I was like, oh my God, my parents, you know, and I was yelling to get them out.
So the tool for the G-spot massage can be used for the whole thing, for the cervical massage.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like an S-shaped
right.
thing that's either glass or made of lucite.
Lucite, right.
And you just move it around. And you can do it yourself if you don't have someone to do it with, or you can do it with a partner and you can ask somebody to do it for you. And they don't have to be your lover. They can be somebody who wants to work with you. So that's what cervical massage is. It's moving around the areas that where there could be things stored that resemble pleasure or pain and the past cellular memories of.
Other things to just pay attention to is for the cervix owners in the room, not everybody who has a vulva has a cervix. Your cervix moves around depending on your cycle, so this is really useful for me. As somebody who didn't have a cervix, I'm like, it moves around? Like, how much? Tell me more. Just understand, too, like if you have an IUD or you're trying to massage somebody who had a medical procedure on their cervix, maybe because of an abnormal pap smear or something like that, like, it's more about massaging around the cervix. You're not really, like, trying to massage the cervix. And I think that cervical massage gives people the wrong impression. There are things you can do, but... And then, like, I would just hate for somebody to just think, oh, I'm supposed to kind of massage it, and then if somebody with an IUD or so, just ask questions, do videos, seek out professional opinions.
It's not like a body on skin massage, you know. It really isn't that. One other thing is, if you are going to attempt this, I'm always a fan of gloves. You may not be able to feel as well, but there's no nails involved. There's no mechanic hands, things like that. So I'm a huge fan of gloves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you talking more about like the very terminal end of the vagina, or like the actual wall of the cervix for the pressure, or?
Okay. This is how. If my finger were in, if you had a vagina, you don't, but you have an anus, so it's the same thing. This is how long my finger is, and I would go in and just move to 12 o'clock and hold my finger there. So this part of my finger would touch something. Everyone go, put your tongue in your cheek. Okay, see how that feels? Mm-hmm. That's how that feels. Mm-hmm. Put your tongue up to the roof of your mouth now. Feel those ridges? That's kind of how you could differentiate that you found somebody's G-spot. It's a little different when you go to the top, and your tongue feels a little different when you go. That's the massage. I would put my finger in and hold it here and move it a little bit, and I would move around as a clock. There's not much more. There's no Swedish or, you know, deep tissues. There's none of that. You know, it's not like that. It's just putting something in and holding it there and letting it relax.
I think the question is the difference between just like pelvic release and cervical massage. Like, do you make a distinction between the two?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I think it's hold it for release. I mean, I don't know about this.
So understand, you have lots of layers of muscle in your pelvis, the pelvic floor system, and then there's ligaments, and things are attached to things, and your erectile tissue comes through the sheets, you know, the penis and the clitoral shaft and things like that. So just, whether it's anal massage or vaginal massage, going in and just kind of giving people gentle pressure in a way that they can breathe and release into what they're feeling is kind of like, for any of you who've ever had somebody massage the inside of your jaw, the first time I had that done, I was like, what the fuck? But then I was just like, oh, I think you could feel all this tension releasing. So if you've never had that happen, then this doesn't necessarily make sense. But you're massaging a bunch of muscles and ligaments that just don't get that kind of intentional touch. And then when you mix it with somebody being present with you and telling you to breathe, and you're being witnessed all of a sudden, there's a whole other thing that happens. And just doing it alone with yourself, with a wand or whatnot, it's very hard to do it, you know, as a geek. Like, it's hard to give yourself anal massage, too. Just trust me. But, like, having the right tools, professional tools, create professional results. And, you know, doing it with people who know what they're doing can give you really great experiences. And around, depending on the person that you're playing with and how long your fingers are and where they are in their cycle, you can feel the cervix. And you're like, oh, that doesn't feel like the vaginal, like that doesn't feel like anything else. What's that nub thingy, squishy thing? That's probably their cervix. If they have an IUD, don't try to poke it. That will usually get you smacked in the head.
I just want to say something about the G-spot massage, that I find it really helpful to have a timer. And we're going to do this for 15 minutes, because for some reason, knowing that there's a timer makes me feel kind of relieved that we're, no matter what happens, it ends at this point. And so 5 minutes before, Lati will say, okay, we just have 5 more minutes. And so then I'm like, oh yeah, I want to go more, or, you know, it's like, it gives me the opportunity to relax within that time, knowing that there won't be time outside of it. And like once a week we would do this, just that. It was like an exercise. We were part of I think that the knowing that there's a limit helps, you know, for me.
It's a great tip.
Performance anxiety.
And because we don't talk as a culture openly about this stuff, you would never get that tip. Mm-hmm. So like even just doing these kind of gatherings, and as you guys form community, like Skillshare and swap ideas, right? Like, you swap recipes, But nobody's like, oh my god, let me tell you what I just found out about my cervical massage. Like, they're like, no, put nutmeg on the such and such. And you're like, yes!
Yeah.
You don't go knocking on anybody's door and be like, I heard you last night. What were you doing? I would like to make sounds like this. Okay. No, but if you smell apple pie, you'll go over and be like, give me the recipe.
Anal sex. I've had it twice. It was delicious. And I read that it can make you prone to hemorrhoids. True, false, how to prevent, what?
I love the question.
Anal it is. Anyone want to take a swipe at it?
Anyone passionate about it?
We all like anal. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my experience has been, if you go slow, you use a lot of lube.
Mm-hmm. I was stoned out of my gourd. I could not have relaxed. I was so stoned.
So if you need to get super stoned every time, and I'm not against drugs, right? But to have ecstatic experiences, if you need to go into an altered state, I'm just going to ask you to consider there may be a way to get into altered states through embodied experiences where you're changing your blood chemistry as a means of having a heightened experience rather than changing your chemistry first by augmenting it. And I'm fine with journeying, but if you go slower and try things in a different way, you can sometimes get to a whole new world. And then do acid on top of it, and there's a whole other thing. That's all I'm saying. Not that I did that. So again...
That was you?
That was me. Again, like, if you do things and take care of your body and can check in with your body and know the difference between this is uncomfortable, but the right kind of uncomfortable... And like, this is pain that's turning me on, or this is pain that's actually hurting my body. Mm-hmm. And you use a lot of lube, things generally seem to be fine.
Okay. As being on the medical side of things, mind if I speak in real quick? Usually hemorrhoids are caused by increased pressure. So if you have to strain and use the restroom, hemorrhoids are just swollen blood vessels. So generally they're caused by pushing.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a bunch of hooey. Heard that thing about anal sex causes hemorrhoids. That's like masturbation makes your palms grow hair.
Right.
I don't believe that.
No, if you have hemorrhoids
and
you're having anal sex, that can make it feel worse. So maybe that's how they got started, idea of it.
I'm in favor of it if you can go there. Not everyone wants to go there or can go there. Mm-hmm. Probably everyone can go there. They don't all want to. I think that the cosmic joke is that the places where we excrete toxins in the body are the places that we're also tucked in them, are the places of the most erogenous places in our body. So it's like really a cosmic joke if we don't take ourselves so seriously, and we know that we shit out of our ass can also be more exciting than our vaginas for women and like that. So I think if you want to go there, go there.
Well, just think of how good it feels to relieve yourself.
Exactly. And one of my teachers, my first tantra teacher, said absolutely not to anal sex, and I knew right then and there that I couldn't retain her anymore as a teacher. Like, I was just, are you kidding me? Why would it feel so good? And that's... No. You know, she also said not to squirt. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying. Yeah, I had to really think about that. I went, what? Mm-hmm. Okay. No. So, I would say if you want to go there, go there. Go there any way you want.
I don't think your anus is erectile tissue,
okay.
So it actually doesn't swell in the traditional sense that my penis would swell or the clitoral legs would swell. But the feeling of fullness, like the swelling, would be analogous to if we're working out our muscles and they feel fuller, which is more blood flow. but it's not erectile tissue the way that the blood vessel chambers work in the same way.
What was the question though?
My question?
Yeah, was your question about hemorrhoids?
Hemorrhoids, yes or no.
Okay, so.
And then anything else you want to add, and you added lots.
If I can add a little bit, for me, it's, I don't have too much experience with anal stimulation, but I think a friend once told me that with men, when we're turned on, like the prostate, it's kind of pushed a little bit closer to that area, and so that's why it tends to be like a no-brainer for sex, because it's, we can have that stimulation as well, and versus like trying to turn someone on first with the anus, like that, at least for me personally, I realize like I have to kind of be turned on and erect first for it to kind of be an option for me, like it versus like just like poking me,
Yes. Well, most penetration requires a certain amount of turn on for it to feel good.
Yeah.
For lots of different reasons, the erectile tissue, for the anus, the nerve endings, and how oxygenation and more blood flow to those areas, and this is also true a lot for G spot stimulation. Unless the erectile tissue in those areas are engorged, so that it actually feels good. But like for me, anal penetration doesn't feel good unless I'm really aroused, because there's a point where my blood chemistry shifts how my pain receptors receive information. So this is why when you're fucking a partner, whether it's hand sex or penetrative, whatever, you have some partners that are like, harder, harder, and you're like, I'm gonna hurt you, and they're like, harder. And you're like, and they're like, yes, that's it. Because their blood chemistry has changed what the intense stimulation is now being registered as pleasure. Until I'm really that kind of turned on, especially prostate play for me just feels wrong. It's like too soon. But until somebody taught me that, I didn't know when to tell somebody to go for my prostate. Because whenever they would try to go for it, it felt wrong. And it's very similar to when you try to massage somebody's G-spot before they're aroused. Mm-hmm. It just feels wrong. Mm-hmm. And then, if that's their first couple of times ever trying it, then they just decide that that doesn't feel good. And they never get to that next place. Mm-hmm. Very similar for me with anal penetration. Until I was relaxed enough and aroused enough, mm-hmm. I just didn't think I was into it. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wow, there's a whole other thing going on that I never knew about myself.
Can I also add, that's also true for men who are exceptionally endowed. Sometimes when they're with a woman who's not ready and fully aroused yet, they're just too big to go at it until that woman's brain chemistry shifts, and then, or their male partner, but I'm saying as a woman, my brain chemistry has to shift before I go, yeah, yeah. I can't go, yeah, yeah, because I feel like, I could die here.
But then we get the role modeling in porn, and it just we go from zero to 110, right, when in half a pizza.
Thank you, everybody, so much for your questions. And, these are the great things to get to geek out with each other about. And it is really, really fun to be able to go here and see, hey, what are you thinking? Like, what's happening behind your closed doors? And how can we take off each other's masks? And so just thank you. And thank all of you guys.
This is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness. Thank you for joining us for this amazing panel discussion.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make me feel like